From the WLRN Newsroom, I'm Luis Hernandez. The spread of the coronavirus hit South Florida farms hard. Restaurants, schools, supermarkets, and national buyers canceled contracts as businesses shut down. That left farmers with rotting produce and fields not worth the cost of harvesting. As WLRN's Jenny Stiletovich and Danny Rivero learned, farmers are finding new and old ways to get their produce to market.
So if you stand on this side of the line.
Oh, can we also add sunflowers?
Absolutely.
This might seem like an ordinary purchase, bunches of kale and radishes and some sunflowers, but it's not. Margie Pekarski is standing under a tent at her five-acre farm in the Redland. An X on the barn floor marks the spot where a single customer is allowed to enter. Buyers and sellers are shrouded in masks. Steve Green is one of the organic growers who supplies produce to Pekarski, and right now he mans the entrance to the farm, armed with a bottle of Purell and covered head to toe in gloves, a mask, and a hat.
We let them in, so there's only three at a time actually shopping, and only one person checking out, and one person actually looking.
When a shopper reaches for a jar of honey, Pekarski's daughter Rachel reminds her that she needs to be the one to handle it.
I know, it's so weird. It's a whole new world.
Pekarski's been farming in the Redland since 1992. She was an early pioneer in community-supported agriculture, CSAs for short. It's basically a subscription service for produce. Buyers purchase shares at the start of the season. Then every week or every other week, they pick up boxes packed with whatever is harvested from the 50 or so small farms. That's how Pekarski gets the produce.
So the boxes might be skimpy for a few weeks, or skimpier. And then other times the boxes might be so full, like they're just stuffed to the gills, you can barely even shut the lids. And even one year it happened to me that we had these cabbages that were so huge, we couldn't even put them in the boxes.
It's a little risky for buyers. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. But for small farmers, it means they don't have to borrow from banks.
Traditional farming, you go and borrow money from the bank to buy your fertilizer, buy your seeds, hire your people, plant your crops, and then months later, when you start harvesting your crop, the money you make from that is what you use to pay back those loans that you borrow from the bank. Well, if your crops fail, you can't pay back your loans.
Before the coronavirus arrived, Pekarski says she was steadily losing business to buyers clubs and farm-to-table restaurants and, most of all, farmers markets. They were fun, and you could get fancy coffee or artisanal cheeses and a lot more than just fruits and veggies. Then came the coronavirus. Suddenly, people fearful over how many hands had touched their food were rediscovering Pekarski. Shares in her CSA more than doubled in a week.
All of a sudden, these people have finally, they've woken up again to what we knew before, to where we were 20 years ago. But we're at the end of the season, so now we can't really satisfy them.
For large-scale farmer Sam Accursio, the reality of COVID-19 has been anything but a boom. Typically, produce from his homestead farm is shipped up to restaurants in New York and New Jersey. But when restaurants across the country shut down, the supply chain that Accursio relies on ground to a stop.
We started seeing all of our food service items start backing up immediately because that's where they all went.
He gave some of his harvest to local food banks, but there was no way they could manage the sheer volume of food that's grown in South Florida. It put him in a tough place. He had literally tons of food and nowhere to sell it.
So we continued to harvest in the fields and throw it on the ground. Then that didn't work. We still had too much volume, so we chopped up 70% of our crop and left it in the field.
And then Accursio got an idea. He would keep harvesting the crops and sell them directly to the public from his headquarters at wholesale prices.
We had, I would say, thousands of people come through this facility and take a lot of wholesale cheap produce.
Things like tomatoes, zucchini, okra, and green beans.
It basically worked out to the buyer at 50 cents a pound.
On Instagram, Accursio's son has posted videos of massive lines, so long the police had to come to help maintain order. Accursio says selling directly to the public every Saturday has reconnected him to the people who live here, where the food is actually grown.
You know, it's a win-win. The farmer is at least getting some of his cost back, but the consumer is getting produce that is so fresh and so cheap. They don't see these type of prices in the store level. they are eating produce that was picked yesterday, and they're eating it today, and they're like, oh my goodness, squash tastes this good.
He says these local sales don't completely make up for the financial losses from his bulk shipments, but it's enough to make him reevaluate part of his business model in a way that could keep more of that produce local.
Our season is winding up, and it's going to give us time to think, regroup. In October, we're going to have a plan put together, and hopefully we will do this all winter.
Large-scale farmers have also found another outlet for their produce, the state's massive prison system. In the middle of the pandemic, the Florida Department of Corrections came up with a pilot program to bring local produce to over 80,000 inmates. A lot of that produce, like green beans and lettuce, was being shipped in from California.
It's almost shocking that we haven't done this earlier.
Jen Bino is with the Dade County Farm Bureau.
Things kind of coming to a screeching stop gave us the ability for us to really investigate and kind of peer into how does the system truly work for our farmers and truly work for our consumers.
A wild thing about selling to the state prison system, it's actually turned out that buying local produce is saving the state money. The Florida Department of Agriculture estimates the pilot program has saved taxpayers about $25,000 so far. Nikki Freed is the Florida Commissioner of Agriculture.
You know, why would you not want to take state dollars, especially with this like Department of Corrections, that's state dollars. Why would you not want to take state dollars and reinvest it in our state?
Freed is now asking all the agencies of state government to look into buying more local produce. Her department also set up a website that connects people to local farms like the one run by Sam Accursio, where they can buy local produce at cheap prices.
So you're going to start seeing some of those changes in human behavior, even after COVID, which I keep saying is also a silver lining of all of this.
You know, farming has always been hard work. When I asked Margie Pekarski at the farm in the Redland about what it takes, she tells a story about two women who tried to grow lettuce, which is hard to do in South Florida. They called their business Lettuce Alone.
And they sort of went along, and it was good, except all of a sudden, overnight, they had this fungus that just like totally wipes it out and melts down everything overnight. If it gets in there, that's you're done.
Or maybe it's caterpillars that overnight wiped out a crop of Pekarski's arugula. Imagine that. Something as everyday as a caterpillar or fungus threatened to put them out of business.
Farmers live with uncertainty every day. But this pandemic may present a new measure of that and what it means to reinvent themselves. I'm Danny Rivero.
And I'm Jenny Stiletovich in Miami.
And this is WLRN News. I'm Luis Hernandez.